From the campus of New Hope Christian College, welcome to Words of New Hope.
When you get married, a lot of times people don't get married to a wife or to a husband. They get married to an expectation of what a wife should be, an expectation of what a husband should be. And then from that point on, we're working to change that person into the expectation of a wife, that expectation of, you need to be Miss America for me. One old man said to me, is his best advice of all. He said, Wayne, you can try to change your wife for like 7 years, and if after 7 years you can't change her, enjoy her just like she is.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, president of New Hope Christian College in Eugene, Oregon.
Sometimes the things we want most in life are right under our nose. Today, part two of a message we began yesterday, Pastor Wayne will help us learn to recognize the immeasurable value of those whom God has placed nearby. Here is Pastor Wayne with the conclusion of the message, Great Friendships.
If you're going to come to the greatest quality of love, it's going to be defined in the context of friendships. And one of them is the qualities is you're going to lay down your life for your friend. Oh, you don't tolerate or get soft on. No, you just lay down your life. Your right to hit, your right to say, that's terrible. That just lay it down. You know what's right and what's wrong, but you extend grace, the same grace Jesus says that I extend to you. So love one another even as I have loved you. And it's in the context of friendships. Start with those that you love. Start there. Start with yourself. Give out grace so that you give the same. And when you give out grace, you're just extending that mantle. You're not compromising sin. You're extending the mantle. The story is told of a soldier in World War II. His buddy was shot and killed in battle, and he wanted to give him a rightful burial so that he can come back and visit the grave one year. He didn't want to just bury him anywhere. So there was this little Catholic cemetery on a knoll in Italy. And so he went up there, carried his buddy all the way up there, knocked on the door. And this priest came out. And he said, excuse me. He said, I just want to give my friend a rightful burial. And I don't want to bury him in the forest anywhere. I want to come and just visit his grave. He's my best friend. Can I bury him in the cemetery? The priest said, well, is he Catholic? No, he's not. He said, I'm so sorry. There's a policy that says only Catholics can be buried in the cemetery. So he said, oh, Father, but it's my best friend. He said, I know. And I know the policy. But I tell you what, in order for you to come back and find him, he'll be buried right outside the fence just as you go into the entrance. That's where he'll be. That's fine. He said, the soldier said, that's fine. He said, okay, I'll take care of that. Well, some 7 or 8 years later, he did come back and he looked for the grave and he couldn't find it. So he knocked on the door and the same priest opened the door and he said, do you remember me? And the priest said, no, I'm sorry, I don't. I brought my friend and remember, we were going to bury him right outside the gate to the left. And oh, the priest said, I remember you. Yeah, he was my best friend, but I looked, I couldn't find him. Ah, the priest said, you'll find him if you go into the cemetery. He's right on the left. He said, I thought only Catholics could be buried in the cemetery. Yes, the priest said, I'm sorry for that rule. So you moved the grave? And with a twinkle in his eye, the priest said, no, I moved the fence. You see, that's what the Lord does. Oh, he doesn't compromise. He extends grace. And your respect for him goes up. Oh, sometimes it's so easy for people to say, be hard on this, be hard on that. And what you do is you diminish relationships. You kill relationships in order that the rules be kept. The Lord is saying, no, I'm greater than that. Oh, and I'm not saying tolerate sin. I'm saying extend grace. And if you understand that distinction, you'll begin to approach the greatest quality of love man has ever seen. Oh, a lot of men don't understand that. Because either black or white. No, my blood covers it. And when you begin to understand grace, you begin to understand the greatest love of all. And it'll be seen in the context of friendships. Well, where do you start then? Okay, I want to give the same grace I give to myself to others. Where do I start then with those that I love? Write in number two. Here's one. We don't like to say this, but start with your spouse if you're married. Spouse, yeah, write that in there. Spouse. And I want you to read Proverbs 25 with me. And this is what happens when you are not friends with those that you love. Let's read it. Go. It is better to live in a corner of the roof than in a house shared with a contentious woman. Oh, I'm not going to say much on that scripture. I'm just going to leave it as is. Just kind of move right along. But all that to say is when you're not friends with those that you love, it's very lonely. It's like living in the corner of a roof. And what the Bible is saying is start by making friends with those you love. If you just start there, the world will be a wonderful place. In the 1970s, Three Dog Night wrote this song, and it says, "One is the loneliest number that you'll ever know." How many of you remember that song? Yeah, I don't. It's way before my time, but I'm glad you do. And then the second verse goes like this, "Two can be as bad as one. It's the loneliest number since the number one." You think two can be as bad? Yeah, you know what they're saying? Sometimes anyway, you can be married and be lonelier than when you were single. You say, well, why? Let me tell you one of the things that contends for this isolation that messes things up is, how come you fall out of friendship so quickly? Because when you were married, you were friends, and all of a sudden it stopped. Well, one of the reasons is, they say, is when you get married, a lot of times people don't get married to a wife or to a husband. They get married to an expectation of what a wife should be, an expectation of what a husband should be. And then from that point on, we're working to change that person into the expectation of a wife, that expectation of, you need to be Miss America for me. And I think, well, you need to be Mr. America for me. Oh, and she got that. And just these expectations that are in our mind. And we try to change. One old man said to me, is his best advice of all. He said, Wayne, you can try to change your wife for like 7 years. And if after 7 years you can't change her, enjoy her just like she is. And it's the best. And what he was saying was, don't. He wasn't saying lower all your standards. You know what he's saying? He's saying, make sure that you raise the priority and value of relationships above your expectations. Because greater love has no man than this. And he laid down his life in order to make a friend. See, a lot of times our expectations surface and become more important than the person. And then we get rid of the person because you haven't met my expectation. Greatest love of all, lay down your life for a friend. And you lower your expectation, and you start to understand the greatest love of all in the context of friendship is when you're laying down your life for a friend. Greater love is no man than this. It's not an easy love, but it's the kind of love that stretches and strains. That's the kind of love that covered a multitude of sins. That's the kind of love Jesus had for us. Because look at the sin that he covered. Did he compromise sin? Not at all. He extended to us the greatest quality of love known to mankind. And that same quality of love that the Lord wants to extend to the world is available. And guess what? The only way this world is going to see that quality kind of love is through us, through the church. Because you see, people, sometimes the only Jesus people will ever see is a Jesus who's living in you. The only Bible they'll ever read is you. And so we've got to make sure that the love that God gives to us, we don't toxify before we transfer it. It's got to be that same untoxified, pure, genuine love that flows through us. And that's why he says, love one another even as I have loved you. Love your neighbor as yourself. He's saying the same way I treat you, Wayne, with grace, same grace. Don't give them a different kind of love. Same. And then you'll begin to understand. Well, that's a kind of a love that's not known to mankind. That's right. It's a love that stretches and strains without compromising. And it's a love that lays down its life in order to raise the priority of a friend or relationship is more important than expectations. And when you're beginning to understand that kind of love, oh boy, you're about ready to approach the greatest quality of love there ever is. And then extend it, and would you write to the next bullet there? Your family. Your family. If you have children, extend that kind of love. I say to young parents, being a parent is not enough. You have to be their friend. Pastor Mark said it so well last week. He said this. He said, you can control with authority, but you won't be able to influence without relationship. I thought, oh, that's so, wasn't that good? That's just so good. That's so good. He must have got it from my notes somewhere. I know. I know he got it. But you say, well, what if I don't have like a family because I'm not married and stuff? Well, then here's your family, folks. Here it is. What? Yeah, Jesus wasn't married, yet he called the church his family. In fact, one day a man came to Jesus. He was teaching a Bible study, and he said to Jesus, hey, your mother and brothers are outside. They want you to go home. Listen to Jesus' response. In fact, let's read it together. Go. Who are my mother and my brothers? He asked. Then he looked at those seated in a circle around him and said, here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother. Yeah. Do you know who my family is? Right here. This is your family in this church. Now, I'm going to say something to you that I need you to catch. And it'll give you a part of the definition of one of the highest quality loves there is. Now, the Bible says, love your neighbor as yourself. All right. So you have neighbors and you also have friends. Now, let me tell you the difference between the two. Friends are those that you choose. I like him. I like her. I don't like her. Those are my friends. I choose them, right? Your neighbor, love your neighbor as yourself. Your neighbor, your friends are the ones you choose. Your neighbor are those that God chooses for you. You have no choice in. But they're around you. For example, right here. You didn't choose these to be in this family of believers with you, but God did. These are called your neighbors. Your children. You didn't choose your children. God did. They're like your neighbors. Now, you have some people at work. Those are your neighbors. God chose them for you. You didn't choose them. Even sometimes your spouse, which started off to be a friend you chose, kind of moves over and is now your neighbor. I don't choose him anymore. Okay, so he just kind of slid over. I didn't say slithered over, slid over. Over here to a neighbor. But the Lord says, now watch this. He says, love your neighbor as yourself. In other words, give them the same grace you would give to yourself. Now here it is. Watch this. The greatest love of all. When it says love your neighbor as yourself. Greater love is no man than this. This kind of quality of love. God is saying, it's easy to love friends when they agree with you. But watch this. The kind of love where you can love a neighbor into a friend. That transforms a neighbor. But because you give a love that lays down his expectations, a love that stretches and strains, a love that embraces without compromising, when you can love a neighbor, your coworker, even your spouse sometimes, that when you fall out of friendships, your children, people at church, people you don't quite like but you just have to be with every day, when you initiate a certain kind of love that one day you say, no, he's not just my neighbor, he's my friend. When you're able to initiate that kind of love, you're beginning to approach the greatest love known to mankind. That's the kind of love that transformed us, changed us from neighbors to those that God says, I now call you friends. You understand? That's the kind of love that the Lord wants to deposit into us because he's trying to reach the world. Through whom? Through the church. And so the greatest quality of love will be understood in this context of friends. When you can love a neighbor into a friend with his kind of love, you're starting to approach the greatest kind of love there is known to man. We say, well, how do I start on this? Well, what you got to do is write number two. You got to learn to make time to build friendships. Make time to build friendships. Because you see, friendships are built in the margins of life. Isn't it true when, you know, like when I was dating Anna, I made time for her because I was in love, you know, and so I made time. I would skip classes just to be with her. And we'd sit by the river and we'd throw stones in the river and talk all day. And we just had margins and we built a great friendship. But watch this. When you get married, those margins get eaten up by occupation, activity, work, overtime, more overtime, money, more money, 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 more money, 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 money. And all of a sudden, you have no margins left in your life. What happens? The marriage goes south. Why? Because you don't love each other anymore? No, because we're no longer friends. Because friendships need to be maintained because it's something alive. Anything that's alive, you need to maintain, water, care for. If something's dead, you don't have to maintain it. If it's silk plants, you don't need to maintain it. But if it's alive and you want it to be fruit-bearing, you got to maintain it. And we stop maintaining friendships, partly because there's no margins left in our lives, and we live as a very lonely country. Did you know that a study was just put out? 2/3 of the people with stress cite that their major problem or cause of stress is isolation. They say we're with hundreds of people every day, but we're lonely. You know why? Because we have no margins left. You got to make time for it. In fact, that's what Isaiah says. Let's read this together out of Isaiah 5. Go. Woe to those who add house to house and join field to field until there is no more room, so that you have to live alone in the midst of the land. In my ears, the Lord of hosts has sworn, surely many houses shall become desolate. Yeah, there's an epidemic in America called crowded loneliness. Crowded loneliness. I want to take you back to how God created us. And I'm going to run you back all the way, rewind you to Genesis, and how God created us to function the best. In Genesis, he creates mankind, and he actually programs in darkness to give us a little hint, and then light to give us a little hint. And what he's saying is, there's going to be time in between for certain things. And when he creates, it says it was evening and morning the first day, second day, evening and morning, second day, third day, evening and morning. You know what he's saying? Life is birthed not out of activity, but out of rest. Do you know the day starts with the evening, not the morning? Evening and morning, first day. Evening and morning, second day. He's saying life is going to be birthed out of rest, not out of activity and busyness. In fact, the Hebrew Sabbath is not Saturday. It actually starts Friday at nightfall. So around 6 o'clock Friday is when the Sabbath begins. And then they gather their families and have the Sabbath meal. And it ends Saturday at dinner time. But it starts Friday night. And that's the Sabbath time. Well, there's a little graphic on your notes that I want you to take a look at. And it kind of gives the Hebrew calendar, the Hebrew day. And I want to rewind us to sort of the way God created us. If you take a look at that, on the top there, on the top right, it'll have from 10 p.m., to 6 a.m., you want to write in this word. What is it designed for? It's your favorite word, sleep. Yeah, write sleep there. 10 to 6 a.m. In fact, even sleep doctors tell you the greatest sleep will be between those times. You get the best sleep. In fact, if you sleep in till 10 or 11 in the morning, you get up groggy because you have a shallow sleep. God actually created the world to move with its gravitational pulls and the tilt of its axis and everything to give us the best sleep between those times. It's designed for that. Then 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. are light or time for productivity. Would you write in there? Or activity that produces something. Productivity is a hyphenated word. Activity that produces. Or your fruitfulness is during that time. But here's the Hebrew calendar from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. was a section or a pie slice for, would you write in there, relationships? That's what it's designed for. That's when the families would gather together. Things would slow down. It would be dusk. They would talk. They'd have a meal. The Sabbath meal would be shared during that time. Listen, if we spent 4 hours a day maintaining friendships and relationships, do you understand how cool your friendships will be in about a year? If you just spent 4 hours working with your kids, working with your family, working with your close friends, working with maintaining friendships, 4 hours from 6 to 10, and then you go to bed. You see, what's happened in America is we've taken those 4 hours and it's been eaten up in activity and other things and the technology of movies or television, whatever. And what happens is now we have a whole day without deep relationships and it's crowded with activity, but we're friendless. And so we feel lonely. And the Lord is saying, that's not how I created you. Because when we violate that, that's when we start to feel that emptiness on the inside. So build time. Now make time to build relationships and friendships. And then you say, all right, I'll do that. But let me give you one more. That's the most important piece of the puzzle. Here's where you really start. Would you write number three, make friends with God? Make friends with God. You see, he's the one that as we become friends with, there's a relationship that takes place. Everything starts to make sense. And that's why if you will read with me this scripture, you'll understand why we hammer on devotion so much. Let's read it. Go. I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. I call you friends, and you know what a friend does? I disclose to you what my Father is saying. And that's why you will see in your bulletin a wonderful, brand new reading schedule for devotions. It even smells good, you know, just it's a wonderful thing. So I want to challenge you to read along with me and allow the Lord to disclose to you what my Father has said. Because if we want to develop a relationship with God through Jesus Christ and become friends, you need to know what he says, what he's saying, what he's feeling about certain things. You begin to understand his love and his grace. You know why it's so important? Listen very carefully. You know why it's so important? Because he says this, love one another as I have loved you. How in the world we're going to love people with the right kind of love if we have no idea how God loves us? That's why we need to find out about his love. And then we become ambassadors and couriers of the greatest love. A love that stretches and strains. A love that's able to lay down expectations in order to reprioritize relationships. A love that can take a neighbor, someone that I didn't choose to be in my life, and love them into a friend. When you can transform things like that, you're beginning to approach the highest quality of love the world has ever known. For greater love has no man than this, than he understand what it means to lay down his life in order to raise up friends. That's the kind of love Jesus has for us. And he's saying, now will you take that and give it away to the world? For freely have you received, freely give. I think we want to say yes to that. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. Let's do that. Let's do that. Let's stand together. Thank you. Would you bow your heads with me as we conclude in prayer? Lord, thank you for being our friend most of all. And we're understanding that we get to start with those we love. Sometimes we have friendships with people way, way across the seas, like pen pals, and that's nice. But we don't have friendships with those right around us. That's not nice. That makes us lonely people. That's why the internet, Lord, seems to be becoming so common for friendships. Nothing wrong with that, Lord, but help us to not exchange one for the other. Help us to become friends with those that we love. And do that by having a love that stretches and strains. And it's okay. That's the best kind of love. It's a quality of love. And a love that lays down our life, our expectations, in order to reprioritize relationships. It's not being soft on sin. It's extending grace. And a love that loves neighbors into friends. Lord, you did that with us. Help us to do that with one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you thank God for his goodness? Go ahead. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
As for me and my house, we will serve.
friends with God.
You have just heard a message entitled Great Friendships by Dr. Wayne Cordero. Thank you for listening. For Pastor Wayne, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.